Welcome to another message from Charles Millett Ministries. For more information, contact Christian Provision Ministries at 919-774-9462 or visit us online at www.christianprovision.com.
It's great expectations on your radio.
Get clear.
Let's get clear, y'all.
Get focused.
Let's get focused.
Get moving. Great expectations.
With the Bishop
Charles Millett.
Yeah. With the Bishop
Charles Millett.
You're rocking with the Bishop
Charles Millett. Great expectations.
Father, we thank you for the strength of your word. We thank you for what happens when we sit at the feet of your word. Thank you that you speak and reveal yourself to us. You make known the desires of your heart to us as we receive from you. We thank you that as a result of hearing from you today, our lives will be the better. We thank you that the word will again do what you've anointed it to do. It will go forth and bring you a return. It will produce the quality of life that you preordained for us to have. So we receive the engrafted word that's able not only, Father, to save our soul, but also to improve our life. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Let's read this together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, let's travel over to Philippians here, and let's look at Philippians 4, beginning here in verse 6. Let's read together. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Woo! Wow! Man, you can be seated. Was that strong or what? Okay, look at your neighbor and say, where do we go from here? Look at the other person and say, what's next? You all know we've been in this great, phenomenal time of teaching and sharing in reference to faithfulness. And each week associated with faithfulness, we gave you a subject matter connected to faithfulness, the key to increase. And now we're moving into what God has for us next. And I said, well, Lord, you know, I don't want to just teach the series and have us motivated and excited and inspired about it. And then, you know, we can't maintain, we can't be consistent. I said, it's very important that we maintain our level of consistency and we don't drop off or lose anything because we're moving to an additional subject matter. So I want to begin to have this additional conversation to reinforce our teaching concerning faithfulness. And I want to talk about managing your mind. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to talk about managing your mind. Say, this series of teachings is centered around managing your mind. Okay, and y'all, we got to be faithful and manage all the things that God has entrusted to us. And remember, we told you that the way that God manages or looks at your capacity to manage is God looks at what you are currently doing with what he has entrusted to you. And based on how well you're overseeing and managing what God has already given you determines what you would do if God gives you more. So it is not God giving me more that makes me a better manager. It is me managing what I currently have that helps me to be a better person. And y'all, from that, the whole thing was built around the premise that God said to us in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19, if you only let me help you, if you only obey, then I will make you rich. God said, if you only let me help you, if you only will obey, then I will improve the quality of your life. Because rich is not just about quantity. Rich is also about quality. And God says the quality of your life and the quantity of your life will improve if you simply let me help you. And I need everybody in here to know that there's another level available for you in God. I said there's another level available for you and God, another level available for your development, another level available for your achievement, another level available for your prosperity. There's another level available even for your influence. So we got to realize that there's always another level in God that you can go to. Look at your neighbor and say, there is another level in God that we can go to. And see, the level that you are currently on right now, or the level that you have functioned on, has actually brought you to where you are. Okay? So the level of faithfulness that I'm on right now, or the level of faithfulness that I've been functioning on, has me where I am in my life now. So I can thank God for the level that's brought me to where I'm at now. Then there may be some of us who have not been as faithful as you would have liked to have been, but you've been sitting under this teaching, and as a result of it, your improved level of faithfulness is going to take you where you want to go, okay? It is good to be where we are, but we also can't stay here. We've also got, like Pastor Taylor said, we've also got to go there. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm proud of myself. Come on, say it like you mean it. I'm proud of myself. And I still got some work to do. So y'all, this word is God's instruction manual for life. This word is actually God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was God, and the word was with God. And everything that was made, out of everything that was made, nothing was made except God actually made it. So God actually took his word and gave his word his personality. So what I'm holding in my hand is not just the Bible. It is not just the word of God. What I'm holding is God. So when I read this, I don't just get the word, I actually get God. Because the word and God are actually one. Look at your neighbor and say, the word and God are actually one. So this word is everything I need. Everything I need to fix anything in my life, the word of God has the answer. The word of God, no matter where I am, no matter where you are, no matter what we are dealing with, every answer I need is in the word of God. There's not anything going on in my life. There's not anything going on the planet that's not in this word. Everything I need is right here in God. So when I get God, whoo, Lord have mercy. Everything I need, every answer I need, I get that actually when I get God. And I'm telling you, if I were you and I was not saved, I'd get saved. Ain't no way in the world I would be going through life and need answers and not get them. When every answer you need is available for you right here in the Word of God. And you really need to actually get this. Remember I told y'all about the Titanic, and I asked y'all, have y'all seen the movie The Titanic? If you haven't, I hope to God you'd get a chance to go look at it. But that Titanic, it was something about it where the folk just felt like and believed that the Titanic was so great, it was so incredible that nothing could take it down, nothing could ever make it go under. And they got warnings about where not to sail, and the captain was determined that the Titanic was so great that it could withstand anything, and fooled around there and continued on a course that it didn't need to go on. And before they knew it, the Titanic had a big hole in the side of it, and water was rushing in and it was sinking. And folk still didn't believe that it was going to go down with water rushing inside that ship. Folks started moving chairs, moving desks, moving furniture and stuff around, shifting this and altering that, as if thought that was going to keep it from going down. They moved all kind of stuff around, but the Titanic still went down. And what I'm trying to tell you is, with your life, you can move stuff around, shift stuff around, move here, move there, alter this, alter that. If you don't get this word in your life, you're going down. You cannot make it without God. When I literally say you're going down, you're going down. Heaven is pure. Heaven is eternal. Hell is full of punishment, and it is eternal too. And God wants us to understand the importance of having this word, having him in our life. In the Old Testament, the Bible makes reference to the fact that God's people, or people in general, did evil in the sight of God. They did evil in the sight of God. But things like that We don't want to hear about or talk much about it in this day and time, but we're not careful because we have changed evil from being in the sight of God to evil being in the sight of man. It ain't even about what people do to God no more. It's about as long as man is pleased with it, it's going to be okay. But God is still in control. And it really bothers me to be at a place in life to have a front row seat and watch people make decisions that are counterproductive to the plan of God in their life when I know they're going to go under if they don't keep God in the right place. It's sad to have a front row seat watching people give up on what I know God wants them to have. And people did evil in the sight of God. And it's really also sad to watch God bless his people, increase his people, multiply his people, answer our prayers, bring things to pass in our life, only to have all of the things that we believe God for to become things that have replaced God. And now everything that God has given us to complement and aid our call to serve him, now our call to serve him has got a seat on the back burner, and all of the stuff that God has given us is now the primary issue in our life. But God never gave me, never answered, never revealed, never made available to me all of the things that I've been praying and believing God for it to replace my call to serve him. So we got to do something with that. How do we find ourselves or bring ourselves to the place of where we're consistent, where we're at a place of where we don't drop off and we have these breakdowns in salvation and kind of be up and down and in and out? I'm glad you want to know, and that's why we're going to talk about managing your mind. Look at your neighbor and say, I've got to manage my mind. Come on, say it like you mean it. I've got to manage my mind. Today is a day of possibilities. Today is a day of increase. And I hope you came to church today with expectation. It is literally a crime, almost a sin, to come to the house of God without expectation. It's almost a crime to come to church and don't expect God to do anything at all in your life. Because Jesus would meet people in the Bible and he would say unto them, be it done unto you according to your faith. In Matthew chapter 9, he met these two blind men. And they were asking Jesus to heal them and asking him to restore their sight. And Jesus said unto them, be it unto you as your faith expects it to be. And the two men received their sight because of their expectation. And when you find a church, you find a ministry. I appreciate what Pastor Motto was saying. You find a church, you find a ministry that teaches you about expectation, anticipating, having hope. Plug into that anointing. Take advantage of it. Don't let that get away from you. Make sure that it's everything you need it to actually be. So I want to give you a couple of points of power as we get going right away. Mind management is more than just hard work. It's habitual work. It's more than what? It's more than hard work. It's habitual work. So according to Romans, you can manage your mind, but the managing of our mind hangs or hinges itself on the patterns or the habits that we actually create. There was a gentleman at Duke University that did a research study. And the research study that he did studying the behavior of humans was this. He concluded that 40% of what people do every day was not based on their decisions. 40% of what people do every day is based on habits. Based on habits that they intentionally developed, or based on habits that along the way they allowed to happen. So get this. His study literally showed this, Brother White, that literally half of what you and I do every day is not based on the decisions that we make. Half of what we do every single day is based on the habits and the patterns that we've developed in our life. So it is highly probable that a lot of what we are dealing with that we may or may not need to fix is a result of habits. as opposed to decision. Lord, I got to make a decision. Lord, I got to make a decision. Lord, I got to make a decision. Yes, we do need to make a decision, but a lot of the days that you live is not decision-driven days. It is more habitual. Now, just because you're willing to renew your mind and work on your mind don't mean that you won't have any conflict. Doesn't mean that you won't go through anything. All conquerors have complications. But just because you have a complication doesn't mean you can't conquer. Look at your neighbor and say, I can do this. I can manage my mind in spite of my complications. Because the best of us have to deal with things and go through things in our life. I was looking at a program a couple of weeks ago, and there was a woman on there, and she had been in a bad relationship, and the relationship went so bad that it left her depressed. And she was so depressed that she felt like she couldn't make it. She had two small daughters, and she was thinking, I can't make it. I'm not going to be able to make it. How am I going to take care of them? And the devil spoke to her and told her, you're so down, you're so depressed, you're not going to make it. Why don't you take your own life? And he went as far as to tell her, go ahead over there and turn the gas on, take you and your two daughters, and go lay on the couch and go to sleep. And when you wake up, y'all will all be in a safe place. And just when she got ready to turn the gas on to do it, one of her daughters was playing with the remote control and flipped on Christian television, and the preacher jumped up and said, God is bigger than all of your circumstances. She heard what the preacher said and rushed to the television and began to listen to him, prayed the prayer of faith, got saved, and is now on television telling her story. And I'm here to tell you right now, I don't know where you are, what you've dealt with, how long you've been there. But I'm telling you, God is bigger than every circumstance in your life. And there's not one thing going on in your life that you and God cannot conquer together. Look at your neighbor and say, there's not one thing in your life or in your family that you and God cannot conquer together. I'm telling you, if you stick with this word, if you stick with God, you're going to come back with a testimony. Ain't no way in the world you can go with this and go through anything and not come back with a testimony. And the thing that I love about this word, the thing that I love about God, is when I read it, I can become what's in it. So if I'm down and it says I can get up, if I'm sick and it says I can be healed, if I'm sad and it tell me I can get joy, if I'm broke and it tell me I can be rich, look at your neighbor and say, whatever it says I can be, God knows I can be it. Please know this. What God is trying to do for you is bigger than healing. What God is trying to do for you is bigger than a promotion. Nothing wrong with healing, nothing wrong with promotion. What God's trying to do for you is bigger than money. What God's trying to do for you is to get this word in your spirit. When you get this word in your spirit, that's why it's that's why it's bigger than all the other. You have to worry about where you're going to get healed, where you're going to get delivered, whether your life is going to shift, whether your family is going to get victory. When you get this, you get all that. Look at your neighbor and ask him, when is the last time you held God in your hand? Look at him and tell him, the word will make you what it talks about. This is your season. This is your time. And nothing can hinder you. Nothing can stop you. The favor of God is on your life. And you are being positioned for everything that God has for you. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, so be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's some things that can be proven when you do that. Look at your neighbor and say, mind management.
Mind management.
So Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. So if I work on my mind, I can improve my life. Managing my mind will make my life better. Managing my mind will shift everything for me. So you mean to tell me I ain't got to wait for you to fix me? I don't have to wait for you to make me better? I don't have to wait for you to promote me? You mean to tell me I can make my own life better? I can improve my own life by literally renewing my mind? If I can, the question is this: do I want my life to be better? Do you want your life to be better? Do I want my life to change? Do I want a better quality of life? Because the only way that I can help other people is I gotta first help myself get better. And the way I help myself get better, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, is by renewing my mind, by getting knowledge from the Word of God. And knowledge, it's no good for me trying to give knowledge to you if it don't work for me. Because the Bible says, don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word so that you don't deceive your own selves. Because knowledge for you from me can only be knowledge for you if that knowledge is working for me. And God is saying to us, things can simply be better if you just transform yourself by renewing your mind. Look at David say, mind management. So if God says to you that you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind, he's telling you, you got the responsibility to do it. The Bible does not say, Bishop, by the people transforming your mind, your life will be better. Bishop, by the people renewing your mind, your life will improve. No, God didn't say my life improves based on you renewing my mind. God said my life improves based on me. So God says to me, listen, you have the responsibility. It is your responsibility to make yourself better. And y'all, if you get this, you can cut back on some of the medication. Amen. Some of the counseling. Some of the desire to want to quit and give up. Because God says it's nothing wrong with counseling. It's nothing wrong with medication that's prescribed, that's necessary. But also there's a Bible that says you can fix yourself. You can get better. You can improve your life. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to everybody on my row right now. Look at him and say, you can manage your mind. So God has put y'all, listen, he has put the ability in every one of us to do it. So I manage my mind by renewing my mind with the Word of God. And when I renew my mind, it helps me to transform my life. You and I can be different. We can be better. We can be the people that God wants us to be by simply renewing our mind. And God put the ability in me to do it. And I want you to know that you can do it. You can manage your mind. And God wants us to be able to do it. So where we are today, y'all, is a function of our mind. You and I are the expression of the working of our mind. So where I am today is a result of what I've been thinking. Because as a man thinketh, according to Proverbs 23 and 7, so is he. So my personality is an expression of my mind. My personality is my mind at work. As a man thinketh, so is he. So when I see people sometimes do stuff that's really weird and really silly and even jacked up, I can't help but to say, what were they thinking? Because Because as a man thinketh, so is he. So that when we see behavior things and we see traits and we see patterns, we got to ask ourselves, what were we thinking? Because something is going on in your mind when you're doing stuff you know you ain't got no business doing. So you can change everything by renewing your mind. And I got good news for somebody today. You are not as crazy as you want people to think you are. Look at your neighbor and say, as a matter of fact, I done found out today, you ain't crazy at all. Because you can change your mind. You can improve your life. You can get better. Got people thinking you crazy. You know? So it's an expression of my personality. But people can't respond to this and be a part of this if they're not taught it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're not exposed to this, you don't sit under this teaching, you don't really know it. Wait till I see her. I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell her a piece of my mind. No, no. You're not going to have no mind to give after all. My mind is there to be renewed. So why am I where I am today? Why am I the way I am today? It's a function of my mind. In other words, Bishop, you can handle your mind. Mm-mm. No. I want to lose it. No, you can change your mind. And you can't let people cause you to do silly stuff. When you can manage your own mind. You can't let folk talk you into stuff you ain't got no business doing either. Because you can manage your own mind. You ever had anybody had you think you could really do something that you really didn't need to do, but they had you thinking you could do it? You got to be careful with those kind of people. I told the church at 8, and I forget when I was in high school, I had some guys around me, they had me thinking I could beat anybody. And we had this one big cat in class, and he hauled off and said something, and they had me thinking I could beat him, and I said something back to him. And I said something back to him, and he hauled off and said, wait till class over. You ever had your mouth write a check? Get your mind out of the gutter now. So he say, Brother Marvin, wait at the class. And I say, yeah, wait. Now that's what I said for them to see. But inside I'm like, I ain't even know God, but like, please let this class go a long time. This class go a long time. They done got my ego all built up, got me all swole up, got me thinking I can do something I know I ain't got no business trying to do. This cat's way bigger than me. And he done closed his book up ready for class to be over. I keep my book up like I want to learn. He tapping on the desk like he waiting on the clock to tick. Class is over. We get out. We got to go straight across the hall to the bathroom. We go across the hall to the bathroom. I mean, boy, he ready. I got to act like I'm ready. We get in the bathroom. It's time to fight. This one little cat, he reaches over to me and say, hey, man, you don't want to get in no trouble, do you? I said, yeah, you're right. I don't want to get in no trouble. And I got out of it. I was so glad. But you got to watch that. There's nothing wrong with having friends in your life, but don't let your friends do your thinking for you. Look at your neighbor and say, you can manage your mind. Say, you can do something with your mind. And what you do with your mind will show up in your life. Whatever I do with my mind, what more is it that I would like to take out of my life that don't need to be there? What more is it that I would like to add to my life that needs to be there? It can happen with managing my mind. Let me give you these last points. Managing your mind will increase your value, multiply your success, and upgrade your life. Yes, it will. What more can I do? Well, you can be faithful in managing your mind. If you change the structure of your thinking, you can make your whole life more fulfilling. Let's conclude with Philippians 4, 6 through 9, because the writer is telling us how to renew our mind with what we think about. It's not enough to tell you to renew your mind and don't tell you how to renew it, but he tells you what to renew it with. Check this out. Be careful for nothing, because in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to the folk who getting on your nerves. Let the folk know who done ticked you off, how you feel. Give them a piece of your mind. Tell them off. No, the Bible says, if you're going to tell anybody anything, tell it to the one who knows what to do. Make your request made known to God. You can't be overly just tore up, mad, and upset and go to Facebook and go to venting because you need likes. It's always going to be other miserable people out there. People who are unwilling to renew their mind. There's always somebody on social media ready to be a part of a pity party. But that's what I like. It says, make it known to God. Make it known to God. Why? Verse 7. And the peace of God that surpasses all of the understanding of the millions of people all the way around the world that's reading your quote. They don't have an understanding like God has. That's right. The understanding that God will give you will keep your heart and mind through Jesus. Yes. It's not enough to renew my mind. It's not enough to just tell you to do it. But how do I do it? What do I renew it with? I'm glad you want to know. Verse 8, please. Finally, he says, somebody say finally. Touch two people and say finally, finally. I'm not going to stop till y'all say it with some authority. Say finally. In other words, after all of this and all of that, finally, this is what you need to do. Whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, forget these things. He says, think on these things. What is he trying to say? If you keep these things on your mind, you can manage your mind. If you keep these things on your mind, you can transform your life. You walk around, oh, they lied on me. I'm sick and tired of people lying on me. Yeah, they lied on you. But the Bible say, don't keep what they lied on you about on your mind. You need to keep truth on your mind. So I'm not going to walk around with who didn't do me right, who didn't talk about me right. No, no, no. If I keep that on my mind, as a man thinketh, so is he. So the Bible says the way you renew your mind, the way you transform your life, the way you manage your life, the way you improve your life is instead of thinking of what is a lie, focus on what is true. Whatever things are honest, Lord, they didn't do me right. Lord, they treated me wrong. Lord, they did. The Bible's not saying that you're not going to have some conflict. You're not going to have complications. But the Bible says when you have them, don't think on those things. Put your mind on the things that are honest. Whatever is just. You are a favored person. You love the Lord and you're full of God's Spirit. But sometimes you don't get treated fairly. Just because you're saved and you love the Lord and you got God's favor on your life, don't mean that everybody's going to treat you fair. But that comes with the territory. But the Bible says don't walk around thinking about everybody who did you wrong and everybody who did you in. Because when you start thinking about everybody who did you wrong and everybody that did you in, you're going to be wanting to get some get back. And God said, vengeance is mine and I shall repay. And y'all know how it is when somebody done you wrong, said something to you wrong, ain't done you right. You be want, you know, let's get even. And the Lord says, no, don't think about that. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely. I don't spend all my time thinking about my haters and the folk that don't like me and the folk that don't agree with me, folk that don't care about me. He said the things that are of a good report, you get some bad news. You get things that you hear about that's not good. The Bible says don't focus on the bad report, focus on the good report. Don't you love it when, if you're a social media person, when you put a picture out there and people be like, nice pic, like that, pretty, precious, nice, wonderful, take another one, give us more. That's, that feel good? Or, you know, you, the Lord spoke something to you, you put your quote out there, oh, powerful, life-changing, really delivering, sent from heaven. Preach. So isn't it a beautiful situation when you get all those good reports? It's one of them. But then, you know, you get one that ain't so good. You run into the Facebook bandit. Or the social media bandit, the person that doesn't like it. And it's enough to throw everything off. You go to the doctor, you get a report that you didn't expect. You go to the school, you get a report that you didn't expect. Your daughter calls you, you get a report that you didn't expect. Your son calls you and he says something that you didn't expect. And all of these things is what the enemy wants to be on your mind. And see, when these things come, you don't get to live life without them coming. The Bible says when they come, you got to know what to do with them. Because you can't stop them from coming. See, I wish my children were always perfect. I wish they always talked the right way. You follow what I'm saying? And you know sometimes how you want to handle them when they don't. But you can't go through life handling everybody that don't talk to you right. You can't beat everybody up. You can't cuss everybody out. And you can't keep quitting their job. And you can't keep trading in every man you get. And every woman you get, and you can't trade in every son, and you can't trade in every daughter. You just some things, y'all. Lord Jesus, have mercy. It come with conflict, complications, and you got to be able to know what to do. Lord, she loved me. She loved me not. They gonna hire me. They gonna hire me not. And if you're not careful, you'll walk around, please, I'm done. You'll walk around with all this stuff on your mind, and as a man thinketh, so is he. You can't manage your mind when you angry. You can't manage your mind when all you're thinking about is who did you wrong. You can't manage your mind when all you're thinking about is the lies they told on you. You can't manage your mind when you're focusing on all of the stuff where you weren't treated right. So the man of God says, listen, this is how you manage your mind. This is how you get better. This is how you renew it. This is how you improve your life. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. Thank God for the psychiatrist. But I'm telling you right now, if you get this, you won't need to lay on the couch. If you get this, you may be taking 5 Prozacs. You get this, you can cut back to 2. 1 or none. Okay, I know y'all wanted me to go all the way down, but some people need a little time. But if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, these are the things you got to think about. These are the things you got to think about. So you got to replace it. You got to replace it. Finally, verse 9. Whew. Those things that you're being taught, things that you're receiving, stuff you're hearing right now, stuff you see me walking in and talking to you about. Just what? Just do. Lord, how you do it? Lord, I don't know how I do it. They didn't help me. They didn't pay my tuition. I didn't get accepted. This didn't work out. That didn't work out. He didn't want me. She didn't want me. They rejected me. They didn't help me. They didn't do it. This didn't happen. I didn't get that. You can go through all of that and be stuck, or you can follow what this word is teaching you and set yourself free. You can be a better person by managing your mind. You do not have to set it off every time. You upset. You're so angry you can't think right. So you break out all the windows. You cut the tires. You break all of the dishes. You kick the dog. Turn over the fish bowl. And then when all that's done. No, you ain't got to clean it up. It's got to be paid for. I wish all it was, but you just, seriously. But you don't, look at your neighbor and say, you don't have to set it off. Say, you can manage your mind. Say, you can handle this. Say, you can do this. Come on, say, you can improve your life. If it ain't just, let it go. If it ain't pure, let it go. If it ain't true, let it go. If it ain't honest, let it go. If it ain't a good report, let it go. What are you trying to say? Quit thinking about it. Quit thinking about it. Quit thinking about it. Quit thinking about it. Stop thinking about it and think about this. I need to think about this picture because right now I just need to be mad. No, this is what you need to do. And a God of peace is going what? He's going to be with you. Is that right? Okay. Now remember, you don't measure a man's strength by the number or the power of his friends. Brother Nehemiah in chapter 4, 5, and 6 was a man sent by God to help make things better. And he's working on making things better. And his critics really show up, who become his haters because he's doing what God told him to do. And he's up on the wall and they down on the ground. And they're trying to get him to come down. And he say, I ain't coming down. What sense does this make? I'm on the wall, y'all on the ground. He says, I'm not coming down. And they began to increase to try to create a conspiracy, do everything they could to weaken him, to get him to come down. But Nehemiah said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to go with what God told me to do. You measure a man's strength by the number of and the strength of his enemies. Listen, you got to ask yourself, for people to not like me, and people really to hate me, I must be pretty important. I must be pretty important for you to stop working on you. And listen, the greater the level of haters you got, the more important your assignment must be. But before you thrive off of thank God for all my haters and thank God for folks don't like me, you ought to be saying, Lord, I thank you that you thought enough of me to ask me to do something that's getting this much attention from other people. And please remember, when you are successful, you're going to have friends that want to be with you and enemies that want to be like you. So don't freak out over that. Because the more opposition, the greater your anointing, the greater your call. So you got to manage your mind. So you're sitting here and you're listening and we're done and we're concluding. I said, wow, man, this is something. This is something. But these are things to help you develop your thinking. Have you ever heard about a cat named? Well, y'all thought I was done, right? I am done, but this is one scripture I gotta give you. Have you ever heard about a cat named Lazarus? Well, Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. And Lazarus got sick and died. And you can find it over in John 11. And Lazarus died, and Jesus continued to do his ministry. And they sent word to Jesus and said, hey, your friend Lazarus is dead. But Jesus kept doing what God called him to do. So 3 days pass, and Jesus show up. And when he gets there, his two sisters, Mary and Martha, they got a problem. They say, look here, we need to give you a piece of our mind. For Lazarus to be your friend, it looks like you would have been here sooner. For Lazarus to be somebody that's close to you, it looks like you would have made some moves to make some adjustments. As a matter of fact, I want you to know that your failure to get here has caused my brother's death. Because my brother wouldn't have died if you'd have got here sooner. So I just need you to know what's on my mind. Then her sister joins in and says, yeah, she right. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, well, wait a minute. You know, folk that die and, you know, leave here in the Lord, those folk going to be, you know, they're going to be resurrected.
He said, yeah, we know he's going to be resurrected in the last day. That ain't what we talking about. We talking about now.
And Jesus said, wait a minute. The resurrection you talking about, I am that resurrection. What you talking about going to be in the last day, that's me right now. What you talking about that you upset about that's been in and happening in your life and you bring it to my attention like I don't care, like I done missed it, like I don't know where you are, like I don't know how to help you. He says, I am what you complaining about. Everything you need. He said, not only am I the resurrection, but I'm the life. I can alter your life if you'll get me in it where I'm supposed to be. But all they talked about is getting out what they were in. And Jesus was talking about how to stay free. So I need to change your mind from just wanting me to do it to understanding that if you get with me, you can do yourself what you want me to do. Because the truth of the matter is, Lazarus is not dead because I didn't show up. Lazarus is dead because you didn't try to raise him. And there's stuff in your life that you're blaming me for that you don't have to blame me for if you just get your mind straightened out. See, your mind is thinking, I don't care. Your mind is thinking that if I, and God said, I'm trying to teach you. You sitting around waiting on me to do what you could do if you change your mind and how you see yourself. You don't give yourself credit. Woo, Lord, have mercy. You waiting on me to snatch you out when you can change your own mind and get up and come out. You waiting on me to change it when you can improve your own thinking and change it yourself. But if you don't renew your mind, you're going to sit around and let life have you thinking, I don't care about where you are. I'm done. Ooh. Ooh. Look at your neighbor and say, we just get your thinking right. Come on, say it again. We just get your thinking right. There's a lot of stuff you waiting on God to change. You can change yourself. And you sitting around waiting on God to change your child respectfully, when all God need to do is change the way you think about your child. And when he does, you'll start talking to him different. My daughter Tiffany gave a teacher, y'all can close your Bibles, gave a teacher such a fit in elementary school. Me and Patty had to go to the school. The woman say, she just wants to take over the class. She thinks she is the teacher. That's what the woman said. She just wants to take over the class. She thinks she's the teacher. We have groups, and when I tell her to move to the next group, she don't want to move to the next group because she want to keep teaching every group to come. And the teacher said, she threw her hands up in the air and told Patty, I give up. Patty said, well, I don't. I said, well, honey, I'm in agreement with you. And the child that she said she didn't know what to do with, she quit and she give up on, that child got a teaching degree from A&T. She's a licensed certified teacher. But this is the child that the teacher said, I give up. But thank God for a mama that knew how to think about what God wanted to do. And if you ever, ever, ever go to God and get God to tell you what the person's supposed to be doing that you're struggling with, you'll be amazed at how free you'll be. Because you'll start going home and telling that boy that you've been telling you just like your daddy. You'll go home and you'll start telling him, I don't care what your daddy's been like. Let me tell you what God said about you. This is what God said about you. And you'll start calling those things that be not as though they were. You'll start speaking, and your mind will be at peace. Lord, they're going to lay you off. Come on, stand so I can pray for you. They're going to lay you off. They're going to lay you off. You're going to be the next one get called. I ain't walking around worried about them laying me off. God is my Jehovah Jireh. He supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And if they talking about laying me off, they better figure out what to do with me, because they're going to lose the best thing they ever had. I'm a child of Almighty God. And what God has for me, it is. There are any witnesses in the house. Touch three people and tell them you can manage your mind.
Get clear.
Let's get clear, y'all.
Get focused.
Let's get focused.
Get moving. Great expectations.
Charles Millett Ministries would like to thank you for listening to this message. We pray that the favor of God continues to elevate your life. Our mission is to get clear, get focused, and get moving. If you want more information about our ministry, please contact Christian Provision Ministries at 919-774-9462 or visit us online at www.christianprovision.com.
Yeah, you on with the Bishop
Charles Millett.
Yeah, with the Bishop
Charles Millett.
You rocking with the Bishop
Charles Millett. Great expectations.